And now, Barron's ranked top 100 independent advisors. It's time for Scott Hansen and Pat McClain of Hansen McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
I'm Pat McClain. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you're here with us. And I got to say, before we get started, at the beginning, there's like sort of a disclaimer. The views and opinions may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this management, et cetera, et cetera.
How do they know? They haven't heard us yet.
I think it should reflect the views is what I'm stating.
You're right. But how do they know it doesn't reflect their views if we haven't stated it yet?
It says it may not.
Okay.
Doesn't say it doesn't.
It should.
It should. I'm just stating. It probably should. So if management is listening and you tend to agree, perhaps next week we could have a different disclaimer.
Yes, like we agree with almost everything they say.
What a fantastic program this is.
They're marvelous people.
Yeah, I'm sure. Keep the ratings up. That's all I care, right? Make sure those people still listen. Anyway, both myself and my co-host, we are both financial advisors. We are obviously not professional radio people. Otherwise, we wouldn't start the program like we just did.
With criticizing management?
I don't think we were critical of management.
We weren't complimentary.
All right.
Although we do love the management
some
of the times. Incredible management.
Unbelievable.
The best ever. So we're not professional radio people, although we've been doing this for over 20 years on the radio.
Yes.
But we're not professionals. Like, it's not, I don't imagine at any point in time that if someone offered me a full-time gig doing a radio show that I'd take it. Would you? Well, I can't say never.
It would depend on, if it was on the matters that I care about, helping people with their finances, that sort of stuff. And I had flexible schedule.
That's the key. Then maybe. Yeah. Then maybe.
Yeah. You mean every day? You want it every day at 10 a.m.?
Like
always at 10? Can we?
Like
I got to be a little late
9?
Today.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're both financial advisors, if you are kind of wondering. We meet with people throughout the week, helping them plan their financial future. And we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. And we appreciate, obviously, doing what we do. Hansen McClain has been helping people for more than 20 years and broadcast out of Northern California. Glad you're a part of the program today. And we've got a great show lined up again, yet another exciting week of financial talk. And also, we'll take your calls regarding questions that you have. And if you'd like to join the program, the number to be part of Hansen McClain. It's easier to get on if you call during the program. I had someone ask me, my friend, he says, you and Pat are sitting there talking. Is it because you don't have any calls lined up? I said, oh, no. I said, sometimes Chris in the behind the screen there in the booth is like yelling at us. Like,
to get to the call.
Yeah, because someone's been waiting too long.
But sometimes we
enjoy each other. But we obviously take calls and we'd love to take your call regarding anything that you're finished. So maybe you are a couple years away from retirement trying to figure out what steps you need to be focusing on right now as you're moving towards retirement. You got a question regarding your 401k. Is it allocated correctly? Maybe someone's trying to sell you some investment. You're wondering what to do with your old life insurance policy. You've been retired for a couple of years trying to figure out the income. You're looking at your estate plan. Whatever the case may be, if you'd like to join Hansen McClain's Money Matters, our contact number to join the program, it's 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766, and we'd love to take your call. And I got to tell you, we were joking about management before. When Pat and I first started, it was a different station than what you're listening to now. And there was a program, one of the management people. It was the first time we were in the office, I believe. And it was in the offices, and the manager guy, he grabbed us and brought us into a conference room where he was finishing a meeting. Remember this?
Yeah, I do remember this.
I don't know
it
who the other
strange.
People were. It was really odd. He just wanted to show us who had the power. So he brought us in. He's like finishing this meeting. He grabs us, brings us in, and he yells at these people and threatened all their jobs. You'd be fired. He's like yelling at him, remember? Threatening their jobs.
Yeah, it was strange. I don't know why he brought us
into the
meeting.
And then he kicked them out and then had us sit down.
Yeah, it was strange.
He's no longer with the radio station. So
yes. What they refer to him as is a consultant.
Maybe he's retired.
He is not, but a consultant.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So 25 years, we've been in this, both of us started around the same time. I think you were 1989 when you began in the industry. You don't even remember?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I've been doing it a long time.
Okay.
I just don't pay that much attention to dates. I just don't. I don't know why.
Do you have 26 years experience or 1 year 26 times over?
It's a probably a bunch of experience.
But so it's what we've noticed, there are many people that go into retirement, particularly these days, and yet continue with some sort of part-time employment. I talked to somebody today that was doing some part-time employment. This last week, during the week, I had a conversation with talking with someone on the telephone. I said, didn't you retire a few years ago? He says, yes. He's back working. He said 4 days a week. He says it's probably a little more than I want to work. I said, "Well, what do you do?" He says, "I'm probably going to go back to just working a couple of days a week."
Which is, I find that most of the people like that.
You know, I was talking to him. He said the thing about work, and he says, "I'm not doing it for the money. I don't need the money." He said the thing about work. He says there's a certain level of interaction and energy that you only get in the marketplace that you can't get at working at a nonprofit, like volunteering for a charity. He says it's not the same as being in the market.
It is not. The expectations aren't quite as high as a volunteer in most situations. The expectations aren't quite as high.
Not quite as high. Haven't you led teams of people nonprofits?
Yeah. it's much of, so, but I read your article today. I don't know when it was published, but I read it today in Kiplinger's, where you talked about a story of someone that was retiring. Was it in Kiplinger's?
I don't know which article you're referring to. About just because you get up early in the morning to read an article, I don't know which one you're referring to.
You wrote an article about a person that was going to retire in a year or two, and you asked them what they thought their retirement would look like. Do you remember this article you wrote? Do you want me to actually go through it? And you said, tell me what your first week.
You know, it's funny.
Week of retirement looks like.
I write for Kiplinger a couple times a month, and I write for periodically CNBC.
And we write for our own website at moneymatters.com.
Yeah. And every week there's an article that goes out. And so I feel embarrassed because sometimes internally they'll say something about, the article you wrote on such and such, and I'll be, I don't recall it. Even 2 weeks prior, I don't recall.
It was an article, I think it ran in Kiplinger's. Did it run in Kiplinger's? Yes, it ran in Kiplinger's.
He's kidding.
I'm looking at the control booth. About someone
how well prepared we are for today's program.
That someone was going to retire, and you said you're fine with the money. Tell me what your life looks like. Tell that story, will you please? The mid-level manager, CEO of a small company. I liked the article.
I also told the story. It was on when I was back in Manhattan. It's on the Street Duck. I said the same story. And to be true, to be really. So we clearly value clients' confidentiality, so sometimes we'll change a little bit of the circumstances
to tell
the story. So in Kiplinger's, it's a woman, and on the street.com, it was a man. So
but the story is the same.
It doesn't really matter what the sex of the individual. The story is the same. Meeting with somebody 4 years away from retirement, go through the numbers, and it was an executive from a medium-sized company.
100 employees?
A couple hundred employees.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. And they wanted to make sure they're fine. They were fine. I mean, financially, they had been great savers. No problem on the retirement side. So I said, maybe they're around 60 years old, give or take a year or two on either side. And I said, so let's pretend like you retired today. Tell me what your life looks like. And the person says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, how do you spend your time? What are you doing throughout the day? What do your days and weeks and months and years look like? And the person said, well, you know, I don't know if I've really given it much thought. I said, well, maybe I should kind of think about that. And I got an email a couple weeks later that said, your questions haunted me, and I realized I have a lot of work to do between now and the time I retire.
So when they sat down and actually started thinking about it, the retirement didn't look quite so bright? Is that?
There's some excitement and some nervousness about it at the same time. And what I find so interesting, most of the financial planning tools out there all have this thing, save until the certain number, then you retire and you just live on this fixed income the rest of your life. Most of retirees, that's not how their life goes. This individual, there's probably a good chance they'll do some sort of consulting on a part-time basis or a contract basis here or there. Yet all the financial programs that are all based upon someone retires and has X dollars a month forever. You know, the fact is, Pep, someone's last 5 years of retirement are going to look a lot different than the first 5 years of retirement.
Someone in their 80s is not going to consume the same way as someone in their 60s.
Yeah.
Any product.
And you know what's interesting? I saw a study just recently those in the top 10% of income, you take a 65-year-old woman, okay, the top 10% of your income, she's going to live to 89 years old.
I saw that study.
A male will live to 87 years old.
In the top 10%.
The top 10%. Top bottom 10%,
yeah,
not quite so long.
Not right? So long.
No, not, you know. But they tend to live much longer. People with financial assets tend to live much longer. But also, I think when you're looking at most people's retirement these days, it tends to be a little more fluid, let's say, than a lot of the financial projections at least state. And people tend to have a lot more variety in their
but
retirement.
I, Scott, I have...
I've seen that as an advisor of Hanson McLean over the last 20 years.
I have suggested to people that they go back to work.
Because you did such a poor job managing their money?
It had nothing to do with the money. No. Because when you talk to them, you spend time talking with a client, and you say, how's it going? They say, well, and you have this conversation. They say, well, it's not really what I thought it was going to be. And part of it is they don't have enough either social interactions with other people. Their purpose isn't as defined. I can think of three people right off the top of my head that I said, you know, it wouldn't probably be a bad idea for you to go back and do some sort of work just to get out of the house, to have a reason to get up in the morning for something to do. And all three of them did it. And not forever.
Yeah.
Not forever, but a few years.
Well,
especially
I think
those that retire in their late 50s or early 60s.
The retirement today is clearly much different than retirement was for 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. First of all, most people don't have the same.
If you want to read that article that Scott wrote in Kiplinger's, it's on our website, moneymatters.com.
Yeah. I don't know where they'd find it.
So just we're working on it.
Now, if you go there, it's actually, you can go to all the different.
There's all kinds of articles.
Yeah. And actually, I think everything I've written for Kiplinger's and CNBC and Forbes, it's you're going to find that all at our website at moneymatters.com. So I encourage you to go to our website and read some of that stuff. There's a variety of different things. Some it's on retirement, some's on investing, all kinds of good stuff there. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue on here and we'll take some calls as well. To join the program, it's 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To have your questions answered by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Back to one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Now this song, look at this.
I know,
Under
this pressure.
Come on, we're doing a radio program. This is pressure right here. And I get reminded of this pressure. I got to tell a quick story. When Pat and I first started on the radio program, and someone asked me once, how did we get a radio show? I don't recall. You talked to somebody at the...
I talked to someone at the radio station.
So, this is our very first show. Okay? Very first show. And I had lined...
Was it 21 years ago or...
Yeah, almost 21 years ago.
Based on the age of your daughter.
Yeah, she's 20.
Okay.
Actually, about 14, but... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, honey.
No!
She's a good kid. I love my daughter. And so, our very first program, we're doing a financial program. We had no training on what to
zero.
Do. Here's how you turn the mic on. Have fun, right? Here's how you take a call. Here's where you push a button and take a call. So we sit in the studio. The first show we did, this guy calls and says, I'm really nervous. I've never been on the radio before. And I'm thinking, buddy, if you think you're nervous being on a phone call into a radio program, try sitting in the seat orchestrating the whole thing.
Were you nervous?
Of course I was nervous. Oh, look at you like you weren't nervous, Mr. McLean. Oh,
I know.
McLean. No nerves of steel.
I know I was nervous because I remember showing up an hour and a half early for every show. And
you did?
Yeah. And then
I was worried you weren't going to make it in time today.
Oh, as I've gotten more comfortable with things, I cut the time closer and closer. But anyway.
And I was also reflected. It's now we're going. I shouldn't be going. We did a workshop. We do workshops periodically. Matter of fact, you can get a copy of a webinar or whatnot at our...
MoneyMatters.com, yeah. Our seven personal decision points. You can watch the workshop in the privacy of your own home.
So we did. I did a workshop a couple weeks back in Northern California, and it reminded me it was the same hotel. It was 20 years ago. It might have been more than 20. It might have been before. I think it was before we started Hanson McLean. We were at another firm. Did a workshop, and your dad was in the back, and he took copious notes of critiquing how to make our seminar better.
The workshop.
Your dad, yes. And I great. He helped us. Why did I bring that story up? Sorry, we're going to talk about financial matters.
We were earlier in the program.
And to join the program, actually, if you've got a question for us, love to take your call regarding some financial matter that's on your mind. Our contact number to join the show, which incidentally is our contact number for the firm, and incidentally, just so happens it's my name as well, it's 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766, and we'll be able to take your call.
So, Scott, we talked earlier about the articles that you write for Kiplinger's, but you have a new book out.
Yes.
Called Personal Decision Points, 7 Steps to Your Ideal Retirement Transition.
We have cameras, I think, here, right?
We do.
There we go.
So it's called Personal Decision Points, 7 Steps to Your Ideal Retirement Transition. And it's actually, I've read some of the reviews on, I haven't read the finished version. I'm going to tell the truth here. I read it. I read it when it was in process.
Yeah.
And I helped mark it up in there. But I have not seen it in the finished version. And I have this book in front of me. And I read a couple of the reviews on Amazon. And it actually gets good reviews. So after I get a signature, will you sign this copy
for me? No, I'm not
going to
sign a copy. It's a good book. Particularly if someone who's within maybe five years of retirement and you're thinking through those things, and it'll help you out. If you want to get a copy, if you go to moneymatters.com/book. moneymatters.com/book, and you'll be able to find the book, The Personal Decision Points.
Or you can, if you have an Amazon account or a Kindle, you can get it.
But I think
there.
If they go to Money Matters, we might have some offer.
Oh.
I don't exactly know what it is, but there might be an offer in there.
Okay.
moneymatters.com/book. And they can get a copy. Or you can go to amazon.com. Matter of fact, if you're a Prime, Amazon Prime Kindle reader, I think you can. How does that work? You can borrow as many books as or whatever it is. You can get
if you go to Amazon.com or Hanson McLean, moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com/book to get Scott's Personal Decision Points, 7 Steps to Your Ideal Retirement Transition. It's a, it would take a couple hours to read it.
All right.
Good book.
In one of the chapters is on investments. And here's the thing. It's challenging once you quit working to be a successful investor. And here's why. There's some changes to think about. So if you're currently retired, you can think through this. If you're still saving for retirement, have this in mind, because if you can understand this, when it occurs to you, you can deal with it a little better. So when we're working, we've got a few things going for us, right? First of all, we're saving on a regular basis. So every month, let's say we got a 401k, every paycheck, we have money going into our 401k. So we might have a year where the markets do maybe nothing, but our contributions have added to the value.
And because you're not withdrawing on it, because it isn't your final nest egg.
I'm going through the steps step by step. You're contributing to it while we're working.
Is this in your book?
Yes, come on.
I'm going to read that book.
So you're contributing to it. So it's going up. That's one thing you got going for you. Secondly, the money's, it's long-term investments for the future. So you don't have to worry about it so much today, because it's not for today. It's for the future, right? The third thing is you're busy. You're working. So you know you should be managing your 401k, but because you're busy and you're working, you're not sitting there looking at it all the time. When you retire and you're no longer working, now you're not contributing any longer, you're no longer savings, there's a good chance you're withdrawing. So now if you have a year where investments are flat, you've now seen a decline, a degradation in your portfolio. It's now gone backwards in value.
Which is scary.
Secondly, you've been saving for the future, but the future's now. You're now retired.
It's here today.
And you've got to take income from it. And the third thing is you've got a lot of time to sit and poke around online monitoring your investments. And what we found at Hanson McLean over the years is, you know, 4,000 with 4,000 households that we've worked with over the years and helping them transition to retirement and looking at their portfolio, we see a lot of people when they have time, they tend to focus on those, that piece of the portfolio that is not hasn't performed all that well.
Which is actually the part of the portfolio that is probably poised to perform well.
Yeah, so what ends up happening for many people, whether they're either this is the same thing while you're working. You get your 401k report, you look at it and think, oh, I probably need to make a change here. Although studies show that the vast majority of people do nothing with their 401k. They set it and forget it.
Which they should. They should do something. They should not set it and forget
it. That's correct. Did you realize, Pat, that on 401ks, let's say last time you allocated your 401k, and we have a 401k at work too, so we understand what everyone goes through. You have a 401k, and every once in a while your employer might change its investment options or change the plan provider, and so you've got some new choices. And so you go and you look at your 401k, and they give you a series of options, this fund and that fund, et cetera. The fund that is listed at the top receives more money than the other funds.
Because?
It's the top of the list.
Yeah, it may not even be an appropriate holding for most people.
So mutual fund companies all jockey to get that top position, knowing that if they're listed first, they're going to get more assets.
They're going to manage
more
money.
You think that's a wise way to choose investments?
I think that the mutual fund companies, it makes sense for them to get at the top of the list.
Not for investors.
No, absolutely not. You should build a model with a portfolio, and there's tools online, and you should, well, the reality is.
Or sit down with an advisor.
Sit down with an advisor, too. Sit down with a qualified advisor that understands how the investments work, and they will allocate it.
And help you allocate the portfolio, design the 401k.
And the reality is, that's why we actually like working with people prior to retirement. Our firm encourages people to come in prior to retirement and meet with us so that we can help them before there's investable assets to make sure that you're ready to retire.
Yeah.
Not we'll meet with anyone that wants to meet with us
that
has assets they would like us to manage. But if you come in 5 years prior to retirement, you're going to be better prepared than coming in the day of retirement.
There's no question about that. Meeting with one of our advisors, whether you're coming in the office or doing one of our virtual meetings as well. You'll be much further along by having a conversation.
So
years ago, Pat, I had just an individual had retired, came to visit us at Hanson McLean. He had a pension decision that he had to make at his employer. His employer gave him, I believe it was either 60 or 90 days. 90 days. He had 90 days to make a decision. Okay? Not only did he not come in prior to his retirement date, he did not come in around his retirement date. He came in on day 89 after his retirement date. He had 1 day left to make a decision.
On taking a pension or a lump sum?
His largest investment decision ever in his life.
Here's a guy that is great at procrastinating.
So what I'm saying, it's actually quite common. Most people don't like
dealing with this. No one wants to deal with this. No one. Well, I shouldn't say no one. I actually enjoy it. Our advisors here enjoy it. But the earlier that you start the process, and that's the whole point of this book, The Personal Decision Points for 7 Steps to Your Ideal Retirement.
MoneyManager.com/book.
Is that it walks you through this process. And it's a multi. Most people, what they do is they collect assets when they're working. Put money in a 401k. Maybe I buy a rental. Maybe I invest in a mutual fund. Without a real plan associated with it. Typically, within 5 years of when people retirement, they actually start pulling those assets out and looking at them and saying, do I have enough? Do I have enough?
That's all right. And they try to get it all organized.
And then you try to get it all organized.
All over the place.
And I get that because there's so many competing interests.
We're up against the clock. See the flashing red? That means we're up against time here. If you want to join the program, this is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON is our number. We'll be right back.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766. Helping you take the worry out of your retirement. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
You're back with Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Thanks for sticking with this program. Glad you are part of our show. Matter of fact, without our listeners, we would have no show. I'm pretty confident that as nice as the management folks are at the radio stations, they probably would not have us on.
If you'd like to join the show, it's 888-2-HANSON. That's H-A-N-S-O-N. Or you can go to moneymatters.com. Before we get to the calls, did you have a subject you wanted to talk about?
I've got a number of them right here.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk about either...
No.
I wanted to talk about the fiduciary standard, but we talked a little bit about it last week. I've been ruminating on this, and it's kind of a boring subject.
Here's what I think is actually interesting. There's registered sex offenders. States have lists, right?
Okay.
Like, where are you going with this?
Where are you going with this? Pretty sure it's a financial show.
Registered sex offenders, there's a list. So, if you're in California, you're curious if your neighbor seems a little odd, you can see if he's a registered sex offender.
Holy smokes. Thank you for that.
But Utah is trying with a financial crime registry.
Saw that.
See, now you're not laughing at me so much.
I'm not laughing. I saw that. I thought it was a great idea.
So I did too. If you've been busted for some sort of financial crime, there's a registry. You should go on a registry.
I'm a big fan of the show American Greed, which is where they show people mostly financial crimes.
A big fan of the show.
I like watching it. Almost everyone that American Greed profiles that has run some sort of financial scam, it's normally their second or third or fourth one. Most people that run financial scams do them continually.
There's a guy in Northern California who was disbarred from the New York Stock Exchange for 5 years.
And you can get a big old helping of indexed annuity from him if you'd like.
He pretends he's a fiduciary, but you go to see him, he actually sells you
mostly indexed annuities.
Yep.
Well, how do we know that? Because we see the outcomes.
We see them when they come in the office with big stacks of annuities.
Yes.
Everything
Utah.
Anyway, so Utah is coming out with financial crime registry.
I hope.
Along with the multiple wives registry.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Isn't that Utah?
Huh? That's where it happens, too. It's
I don't know.
That portion of Harris, there's those couple cults that...
Yeah, but we're not...
I'm not saying the whole state, but that's where they... Was that too far out
we
there?
We don't...
That's fine. Just kidding.
That's all right. We don't run in...
But the financial crimes...
play in Utah, nor probably will.
All right, so no. In all honesty...
Yes.
Those polygamous camps tend to be... Now we are getting too far out
there. There we go. Let's go to the calls. 888-2-HANSON. That's 888.
Sorry. I meant... And there's not... There's anything wrong with that.
With polygamy.
Wait a minute. I don't know what's... Anyway, let's take the calls.
888-242-6766. Let's talk to Jamie in San Diego. Jamie, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
Well, I... live in San Diego, and I'm looking to sell a rental property, and it was recommended to possibly set up a CRT, the Charitable Remainder Trust, to put the capital, I guess, into.
Okay.
And I'm just looking for a second opinion if that's the best place to put the money.
So let's walk through this quickly, real quick. How old are you, Jamie?
I am 51.
Okay. And what's the approximate value of this property that you're going to sell?
Or give away?
one of the two.
No, I'm going to sell it. And I think the range is probably $600,000.
And what do you have into it?
$250,000.
Okay.
What's your overall net worth?
My overall net worth?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a really good question. Like
if you sold everything you owned and put it in a suitcase, how big would that suitcase be?
Probably in dollars.
Yes. Yeah.
Probably $1,000,000.
Okay. And
that excludes this rental
Or it includes this rental?
No, that includes that rental. Oh,
okay.
No, it would be more than that, actually, because the house I live in, and I have that, and then that house, and then I have a condo.
So let me, do you have a, are you really involved with a charity and have a tremendous desire to fund this charity in your 50s?
Well, that's, you know, good question. That's still up for discussion of which charity it would go to, but there's a couple.
Are you charitably inclined? And we don't know you, Jamie, and you might not even be that's using a, your real name. Tough. Are you?
I, do you give away a lot of your income now?
Try not to.
Okay.
Okay. So the main driver behind a charitable remainder trust is you have to really have a charitable intent.
In other words, these work great. They work great when you say, boy, I love giving this organization. I'm trying to give this organization. How can I do this more tax efficiently? Or, even more common, you know, I really have more assets than I need. I'm not going to spend all these assets during my lifetime. I've got this thing I was going to sell, but maybe if I can give it but still have some income today, but I want it all to go to this charity when I die. That's usually when people, two things. One, when they have substantial assets, and not to say you don't, but I mean, they could certainly live without the asset. And two, typically when somebody's a little further down in life, a little older than 51.
Okay.
So why are you selling this property or giving it away?
Well, that was one of my questions. Should we be doing that, really? We're putting some money into it. The tenants just moved out. We're going to clean it up. I mean, we're investing, you know, close to $20,000 to clean it up to sell it. And then we're like, well, man, what if we don't want to sell it?
What will it rent out for?
Oh, it's in a very popular area in North Park. Probably $2,500 to $2,700 a month.
All right. So you're running about $32,000 to $33,000 in gross, and you're probably netting.
Why do you want to put this in a charitable remainder trust?
Someone told her about it, Scott. I don't think she wants to. She was calling us for a second opinion. Yeah. Is that fair, Jamie?
Yeah, that's exactly.
This is the last thing you should
do. Was it a financial advisor that was recommending the charitable remainder trust, or was it your accountant?
Oh, financial advisor.
Okay. Did they talk about life insurance at all?
Yes.
Okay, we're done. Forget the CRT.
We're done.
We're done. We're done.
This is just really strange.
Here's
the thing.
Was that by the way, was the financial advisor over the age of 65?
No.
Oh, because these were popular 25 and 30 years ago. They're not very popular at all anymore. The idea being, for the rest of the listeners, is that you're going to take this house. For Jamie, you're going to put it in a charitable remainder trust.
Which means
you're going to get a tax deduction for the full $600. You give all of it away.
You get a tax deduction for the fair market value, the current market value of the future gift. So you don't get the full tax deduction of $600,000. And she probably doesn't even need a big tax deduction.
Correct. You give away the asset, you get some tax deduction, then income comes off of it. You take that income, and then from that income, you pay taxes on it. Then you buy this big life insurance policy to replace the asset. Was that how it was explained?
No, it wasn't explained. It didn't couple like that.
All right. Well, in any case, now, you own an asset that presumably will appreciate over time. That has income that will also appreciate over time. Should keep pace with inflation, right? That's what inflation is. So when you're 61, 71, 81, this should be providing higher and higher income. If you give this asset away today, you can receive some income, probably less than you're receiving today. That income is not necessarily guaranteed in the future. If things don't work out as far as the investments, that could be reduced.
And especially if you were buying a life insurance policy to replace the asset, it negates the whole thing almost completely because of the cost of the life insurance.
I think they could work great. Let's say you had...
We've done them before, yes. But not for a 51-year-old with a net worth of less than $2 million.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, we've done them,
And there are still times they could work wonderfully.
But you're not the right person, nor do you have the asset level to justify. And it doesn't sound like you're clamoring to give some charity some money.
Right.
No, I think it's a bad call for you. I think that I would look at keeping the property.
Yeah, that was where I was leading, because we were kind of on the fence of, you know, should we rent it? It's just that it is, you know, it's an older home, and we.
Well, you could always sell it and do a 1031 exchange into another rental, or you can go to another market. You can sell this and say, I'm going to buy two rentals in Portland region or some other market that doesn't have, where things aren't as expensive. So you've got those options as well.
Right, but if you go to do the 1031 in another market, or is that still in effect with the other market?
Yeah. As long as you do like exchange. So you can get rid of this, say, you know what, this house is old. Let's sell this house and exchange it. Let's buy a different piece of property and rent that out. I would certainly look at doing that before I gave this away.
Yeah, that was one of the options. I really appreciate it. This is great information.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. And Jamie, moneymatters.com /book. Scott's
/book.
/book. Scott's book, Personal Decision Points. Seven steps.
It's a page turner. Matter of fact, if you have insomnia and you have trouble sleeping tonight, that might help.
I'm going to say it here. Quentin Tarantino has optioned the book.
A movie. But he's going to mix up the way the chapters go. You won't know where you are. It'll be confusing the whole time.
All right,
we're going to take a break. Jamie, glad you called. And we've got some more information about stuff like that on our website, moneymatters.com. To join the program, if you want to join us as well, it's 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
To join the show, call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-242-6766. Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com. Now back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All right, you're back with Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean. So this last weekend, I was taking an Uber, and we were driving through this nice neighborhood. And the as I am apt to do, just talk to almost anyone about anything, which takes... Yeah. Because
I've noticed, I remember when Pat and I first started working together 20-some-odd years ago, and some guy was talking about... I don't know if he was a helicopter pilot or helicopter mechanic. And Pat starts talking this conversation. And 5 minutes later, the guy leaves. And I think, Pat, how'd you know so much about helicopters? He says, I don't know anything about helicopters. So what do you mean? So just if you listen to what I said, it was just kind of the way the questions I asked.
But I knew more after the conversation than I did before.
Yes. Is this a long story?
No, it's not. So because I know we got calls at 888-2-HANSON.
Uber ride?
It was about 15 or 20 minutes. So we're riding down there. We're in a fairly nice neighborhood, and he says to me, you know, I've been looking at houses. And I said, oh, well, that's great. And so he told me where he lived, and I said, well, why are you moving? He says, well, I made a couple currency investments. I expect to
you're joking.
I am.
This
not
happened just a week ago.
Saturday. And so I said, oh, what currency investment? My wife's sitting next to me, and she doesn't know. And she's like, oh, that's exciting. That'll be great. And he says, what do you think these things run for? He says,
it wasn't the Iraqi currency, was it?
It was the Iraqi dinar. This poor guy.
We had a call on his radio program about a year or two ago, the Iraqi dinar.
So he was telling me that he's going to have all this money and that he was looking for a home. Nothing, you know, nothing over the top, just maybe a 3 or 4 bedroom. Couple bath.
Single guy.
You know, not crazy. Maybe with a water view. I'm not.
It could be a filtered view of the ocean. It doesn't need to be.
I'm not kidding. This is true. Okay. Maybe with a water view. It doesn't have to be a big lake, but maybe some lake. Nice guy, retired guy. So I said, so what is this? He says, I've been buying the Iraqi dinar, and I expect it to hit any day yet. So I didn't have the heart to tell him that there was an article last week on a guy that was running the Iraqi dinar scam.
Well, I remember that we had a call on this radio program, and someone said, what do you think? And someone was encouraging him to invest in the Iraqi dinar, and I'm like, what?
So this guy's name was...
usually the scams... Is this kind of something outlandish, way out there, and the return potential is so astronomical that
you've just got to run away. So the
that's what this probably was, right?
Yeah, but there were so many of these that the Securities Exchange Commission is now starting to get through the list. I've read about four or five of them, but the one I read this last week was he was out of Cache County, Utah. Speaking of Utah earlier in the show, and his name was John Scott Clark, and he had restitution.
Scott was no relation, by the way.
John Clark. And restitution of $47
million? $47 million? He swindled $47
million? Oh, no, $1.7 million.
Okay.
But in...
A couple million bucks.
Nah, Scott, but in... Utah was the one that was talking about the registry.
Yes.
So back in 2009, he was charged with operating a $47 million Ponzi scheme.
Same guy,
and he pled guilty in 2009 to bank fraud, money laundering, and illegal gambling. But apparently... was able to start another Ponzi scheme. And so Mr. Clark will be spending some time in jail, and the poor Uber driver that drove me.
What did you say to him?
I didn't have the heart to tell him. I really didn't. He was so excited about the house. He was asking me how much, what do you think these things cost? I tipped him well.
You felt sorry for him afterwards.
I didn't
have. I thought you don't have to tip the Uber driver.
You don't have to tip anyone.
Okay, but I think it's not customary to tip us Uber drivers.
In my custom, it is.
Your custom.
I don't care about anyone else.
Look at it. The reason I'm asking, it's my understanding that you don't, because it's all included.
I tip.
And I'm trying to learn the new way of things. I know of a cab I'm supposed to take, or
let me tell you.
A car service driving to the airport. I'm supposed to tip those. But
let me tell you,
Uber, I thought it's all just
included.
Click, click.
Let me tell you how I determine the size of the tip. So I was taking him from my house.
And by the way, I'm sorry, Donna, we'll get to your call here soon.
I was taking him from my house.
And the rest of the callers.
I was taking him from my house to a restaurant with my wife. And I looked to see how far the driver had to get to my house and then the length of the ride. So if they've got a long drive over to my house, I will tip them because that is an uncompensated portion of their trip.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I feel bad about that. Not so bad that I'm not going to take the Uber, but I think that they should be fairly compensated. In my book, of what's fair. But I did not tell him that the Iraqi dinar thing was a scam. I felt...
You didn't care about him that much. You wouldn't let him live in his excitement.
Well, he was so happy about it. Why would I pop that
bubble?
It's
a shame. It's a shame. I'm just teasing you on that.
Now, if it was a client and he was in my office and he was asking for financial...
Or someone on the radio program. I mean, we had that call a couple
of years
ago.
If you've invested in the Iraqi dinar and want to find out whether it's real or not, call us.
Someone's pitching you something. Oftentimes, it's... When something sounds too good to be true, I mean, you know, we've all heard that. Anyway, 888-2 Hanson to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 888-2 Hanson. We're talking with Donna. Donna, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
I have a small question for you. I listen to your program all the time. And
In fact,
I listen to many programs all the time just for the fun of it. And I have a 60-month Roth IRA that's coming due that, fortunately, was getting 2.03% all these 5 years.
Okay.
I don't want to invest this in the stock market because I use it as an emergency fund.
Alrighty.
And so I was just wondering, I'm in my 80s, and I just wanted to know if there's some place that I could make a better interest in putting this now into my just regular savings account. It's coming due.
Here's the challenge. You know, as interest rates have gone lower and lower, as the Federal Reserve has went lower and lower, the people that are taxed the most are people like you, Donna. It's retirees, savers, and so the Federal Reserve lowers interest rates to where they're now almost nothing. And you, probably years ago, were getting a nice return on your CDs. And today you're at 2%. It's coming up for renewal. And you're thinking, should I do something more with this?
And the idea of lowering these interest rates, the Federal Reserve, is to push people to invest in riskier assets.
Right.
And here's Donna. How old are you, Donna?
80.
80?
83.
It's working. The federal government never imagined that the 83-year-old Donna.
That's not really what they're trying to encourage, but they're trying to spur on. They're really trying to encourage the banks to lend more.
That's what they're trying to do. And Naturally, this low interest rates is the unintended consequences. People start reaching for greater risk for higher, supposedly higher rate of return. So you had a 5-year CD, bank CD.
And you're not living out the income. This is for just an emergency.
Yeah, it's a Roth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a Roth.
You should go and turn around and buy another
5-year CD.
I don't know if I'd buy a 5-year CD. I'd probably buy a 1-year CD or a 2-year CD. Is it a local bank or do you bank online? I'm going to guess it's local.
It's a local bank.
Yeah. I don't think I'd go out 5 years. I'd probably buy a 2-year CD the longest I would go out. And if you're
do not talk to the financial advisor at the bank.
When you go in and they point you to that sharply dressed young lady or man in the corner.
Or he or she's there on Tuesdays.
Do not speak to them.
Because they're going to try to sell you some financial product, perhaps an annuity. There are billions of dollars that have been moved out of bank CDs into annuities that tied up for years for people just like Donna. And that is not the appropriate place for you to be.
So can it be a Roth IRA for 2 years?
Oh, yeah. You can put anything you want.
Be a Roth.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. So what you did before is you put a 5-year CD inside of a Roth IRA. So the Roth is the tax shell. The CD was the investment.
Correct. Okay.
And I wouldn't go any further than 2 years.
Yeah, probably right. It's not going to make any
difference.
I wouldn't
go anything further than 2 years on it.
And just remember, return of principal is the most important thing. Return on principal is secondary. So the nice thing about CDs, you know your money is guaranteed and it's safe. And if this is for emergency reserves, this is the place to have it set, Donna. So glad you are called Hans McLean's Money Matters. And I tell you, there's more. It seems like more and more people are in Donna's situation. And how many clients have we had they've got an aging parent that they're trying to figure out.
We need to get something more than 1 or 3/10% or 5/10%. And it's not the stated goal of the Federal Reserve to force these, but it certainly has been a tax on the conservative saver, these low interest rates.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Anyway, we are running up against the clock. This is, by the way, if you failed to file your taxes last week, on Monday, you can actually have until Monday of this year because Friday was the Emancipation Day, holiday being observed by some. So you've got until April 18th, Monday. And I bet there's many listeners out here that are still filing their taxes on Monday, but make sure I suppose you would have time to fund an IRA if you had an institution that could set that up for you. Maybe a bank or something could at that.
You could.
On that Monday.
On Monday.
Hopefully you've got your taxes done.
Well, you could actually account for it on your taxes and make the deposit Monday morning.
You certainly could. If you have somewhere that'll take your deposit. I'm sure there's plenty of places that'll take your deposit on that period of time. Anyway, the music means that we're out of time. We are here every weekend at the same very time. You could also get a podcast of this program. And we have many listeners that listen to our podcast. Just go to iTunes and Google Hanson McLean or search Hanson McLean on iTunes or go to moneymatters.com and you can sign up at moneymatters.com as well. It's been great being with you this weekend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.